good that way. So I'll go ahead and begin, and yeah, everybody who would like to read, whoever's next, have their bubble up, and we can continue. So anyway, we open up with prayer, praise the Lord, and happy Sabbath. So let's begin. Chapter 56, Blessing the Children. It says, Jesus was ever a lover of children. He accepted their childish sympathy and their open, unaffected love. The graceful praise from their pure lips was music to in his ears and refreshed his spirit when oppressed by contact with crafty, hypocritical men. Wherever the Savior went, the benignity of his countenance and his gentle, kindly manner won the love and confidence of children. Among the Jews, it was customary for children to be brought to some rabbi, that he might lay his hands upon them in blessing, but the Savior's disciples thought his work too important to be interrupted in this way. When the mothers came to him with their little ones, the disciples looked on them with disfavor. They thought these children too young to be benefited by a visit to Jesus, and concluded that he would be displeased at their presence. But it was the disciples with whom he was displeased. The Savior understood the care and burden of mothers who were seeking to train their children according to the Word of God. He had heard their prayers. He himself had drawn them into his presence. Amen. I'll stop right here and let somebody else take over.
Amen. Anybody look that up? Benignity, maybe? Benignity? I don't know. Okay, DA 511.2. One mother with her child had left her home to find Jesus. On the way, she told a neighbor her errand, and the neighbor wanted to have Jesus bless her children. Thus, several mothers came together with their little ones. Some of the children passed beyond the years of infancy to childhood and youth. When the mothers made known their desire, Jesus heard with sympathy the timid, tearful request, but he waited to see how the disciples would treat them. When he saw them send the mothers away, thinking to do him a favor, he showed him their error, saying, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." He took the children in his arms, he laid his hand upon them, and gave them the blessing for which they came. The mothers were comforted. They returned to their homes strengthened and blessed by the words of Christ. They were encouraged to take up their burden with new cheerfulness and work hopefully for their children. The mothers of today are to receive his words with the same faith. Christ is as verily a personal Savior today as when he lived a man among men. He is as verily the helper of mothers today as when he gathered the little ones to his arms in Judea. The children of our hearths are as much the purchase of his blood as were the children of long ago. So true, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible is just, I mean, that's even speaking of the whole Bible, is just as valid today as it was back then. Everything in it.
Okay, I'll continue. 512.1. Jesus knows the burden of every mother's heart. He who had a mother that struggled with poverty and privation sympathizes with every mother in her labors. He who made a long journey in order to relieve the anxious heart of a Canaanite woman will do as much for the mothers of today. He who gave back to the widow of Nain her only son, and who in his agony upon the cross remembered his own mother, is touched today by the mother's sorrow. In every grief and every need, he will come to Jesus with their perplexities. They will find grace sufficient to aid them in the management of their children. The gates are open for every mother who would lay her burdens at the Savior's feet. He who said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not," still invites the mothers to lead up their little ones to be blessed by him. Even the babe in its mother's arms may dwell as under the shadow of the Almighty through the faith of the praying mother. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. If we will live in communion with God, we too may expect the Divine Spirit to mold our little ones, even from their earliest moments. In the children who were brought in contact with him, Jesus saw the men and women who should be heirs of his grace and subject of his kingdom, and some of whom would become martyrs for his sake. He knew that these children would listen to him and accept him as their Redeemer far more readily than would grown-up people, many of whom were worldly wise and hard-hearted. In his teaching, he came down to their level. He, the Majesty of Heaven, did not disdain to answer their questions and simplify his important lessons to meet their childish understanding. He planted in their minds the seeds of truth, which in after years would spring up and bear fruit unto eternal life.
There was no sound, but we heard a lot of, adjustments being made and some hissing. I think you might be almost there. But I tell you what, let me continue, and we'll go around, and maybe if he puts his bubble back up, we'll cut the line to the front of the line. And, where was I? Oh, 512.4, that's where we're at right now. Okay. It is still true that children are the most susceptible to the teachings of the gospel. Their hearts are open to divine influences and strong to retain the lessons received. The little children may be Christians having an experience in accordance with their years. They need to be educated in spiritual things, and parents should give them every advantage that they may form characters after the similitude and the character of Christ. Mothers and fathers should look upon their children as younger members of the Lord's family, committed to them to educate for heaven. The lessons that we ourselves learn from Christ, we should give to our children as the young minds can receive them, little by little opening to them the beauty of the principles of heaven. Thus, the Christian home becomes a school where the parents serve as under-teachers, while Christ himself as the chief instructor. Yeah, amen to that. And, it's amazing when you share with a child the gospel. They're more open-minded about it, and, because they're not pre-doctrinated with all the other errors that other people are being taught today. So it is a important thing to, even if it's not your own child, share the gospel with them, because they are very open-minded. Anyway, I'll stop right here. We're on, I lost my spot. Okay, I'll just stop right here.
Amen, Bondo. Even being open-minded, I think many of them are very smart and can distinguish many lies from the truth also, and are very attuned to that, I think. But let's continue. DA 515.2. In working for the conversion of our children, we should not look for violent emotion as an essential evidence of conviction of sin. Nor is it necessary to know the exact time when they are converted. We should teach them to bring their sins to Jesus, asking His forgiveness, and believing that He pardons and receives them as He received the children when He was personally on earth. As the mother teaches her children to obey her because they love her, she is teaching them the first lessons in the Christian life. The mother's love represents to the child the love of Christ, and the little ones who trust and obey their mother are learning to trust and obey the Savior. Jesus was the pattern for children, and He was also the Father's example. He spoke as one having authority, and His word was with power. Yet, in all His intercourse with rude and violent men, He did not use one unkind or discourteous expression. The grace of Christ in the heart will impart a heaven-born dignity and sense of propriety. It will soften whatever is harsh and subdue all that is coarse and unkind. It will lead fathers and mothers to treat their children as intelligent beings, as they themselves would like to be treated. You know, I've noticed and worked on that myself, and talking with my one boy and two grandchildren and nieces and nephews. If you talk to them at a more even level and like intelligent beings and not animals, you know, they're way more apt to listen and understand what you're saying to, and not try to talk down to them, but talking at even keel with them. Go ahead, William. Sabbath blessings all. William, Sabbath blessings all.
Okay. So we are on 515.5. Parents, in the training of your children, study the lessons that God has given in nature. If you would train a pink or rose or lily, how would you do it? Ask the gardener by what process. Yes, that's little brother in the background. He's trying to walk now. He's very cute. Okay. Ask the gardener by what process he makes every branch and leaf to flourish so beautifully. And yeah, everybody that sees him has to, you know, tell us, oh, he's so cute, and you know, we just say yes, we're very blessed to have such a blessing in our lives. It's so nice. Praise the Lord. Ask the gardener by what process he makes every branch and leaf to flourish so beautifully and to develop in symmetry and loveliness. He will tell you that it was by no rude touch nor violent effort, for this would only break the delicate skin. Amen. That's very true. It was by little attentions often repeated. He moistened the soil and protected the growing plants from the fierce blasts and from the scorching sun, and God caused them to flourish and to blossom into loveliness. In dealing with your children, follow the method of the gardener. By gentle touches, by loving ministration, seek to fashion their characters after the pattern of the character of Christ. Amen. That is a very, very good comparison. I mean, that makes sense. Amen to that. I mean, gentle words, they just work so much better. There was a verse about that. Let me try to remember. Well, I'm sure there's several verses, but there was one specific one. I'm going to look it up and I'll put it in the room. Jim P., you can talk while I'm doing that.
Can everyone hear me? Hello? Okay. Encourage expression of love toward God and toward one another. The reason why there are so many hard-hearted men and women in the world is that true affection has been regarded as weakness and has been discouraged and repressed. The better nature of these people was stifled in childhood, and unless the light of divine love shall melt away their cold selfishness, their happiness will be forever ruined. If we wish our children to possess the tender spirit of Jesus and the sympathy that angels manifest for us, we must encourage the generous, loving impulses of childhood. Teach the children to see Christ in nature. Take them out into the open air, under the noble trees, into the garden, and in all the wonderful works of creation, teach them to see an expression of His love. Teach them that He made the laws which govern all living things, that He has made laws for us, and that these laws are for our happiness and joy. Do not weary them with long prayers and tedious exhortations, but through nature's object lessons, teach them obedience to the law of God. Then go ahead, Slate Rock.
Thank you. You were a little, your audio, Clive, or Ken, was a little low, but we heard you. Jim, sorry about cutting you off there. We couldn't hear a thing out of your mic. If you want to maybe try later, more than welcome. Let's see, where were we at? 516.3. As you win their confidence in you as followers of Christ, it will be easy to teach them of the great love wherewith He has loved us. As you try to make plain the truths of salvation and point the children to Christ as a personal Savior, angels will be by your side. The Lord will give to fathers and mothers grace to interest their little ones in the precious story of the babe of Bethlehem, who is indeed the hope of the world. Amen. When Jesus told the disciples not to forbid the children to come to Him, He was speaking to His followers in all ages, to officers of the church, to ministers, helpers, and all Christians. Jesus is drawing the children, and He bids us suffer them to come, as if He would say, "They will come if you do not hinder them." Let not your un-Christ-like character misrepresent Jesus. Do not keep the little ones away from Him by your coldness and harshness. Never give them cause to feel that heaven will not be a pleasant place to them if you are there. Do not speak of religion as something that children cannot understand, or act as if they were not expected to accept Christ in their childhood. Do not give them the false impression that the religion of Christ is a religion of gloom, and that in coming to the Savior they must give up all that makes life joyful. Oh, that is, you know, that is so true with what the papacy and the RCC is doing too. In a lot of ways, they turn people off to Jesus by teaching untruths and their pomp and ceremony and traditions that water down the Scripture, every bit of Scripture, just about. Well, I don't want to hold the microphone. Who wants to go next? Anyone else? Okay, Nick, go ahead.
All right. 517.4 says, as the Holy Spirit moves upon the hearts of the children, cooperate with His work. Teach them that the Savior is calling them, that nothing can give Him greater joy than for them to give themselves to Him in the bloom and freshness of their years. You know, I look back and I, oh, man, you know, like you know what you know now, and you want to go back to your childhood and just give all to the Lord, even during your teen years. That's just, oh, I would just love to do that. But continuing, it says, the Savior regards His infinite tenderness. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Savior regards with infinite tenderness the souls whom He has purchased with His own blood. They are the claim of His love. He looks upon them with unutterable longing. His heart is drawn out. Not only do the best behaved children, not only to the best behaved children, but to those who have by inheritance objectionable traits of character. Many parents do not understand how much they are responsible for these traits in their children. They have not the tenderness and wisdom to deal with the erring ones whom they have made what they are. But Jesus looks upon these children with pity. He traces from cause to effect. Go ahead, Kim or Clive.
The Christian worker may be Christ's agent in drawing these children to the Savior. By wisdom and tact, he may bind them to his heart. He may give them courage and hope, and through the grace of Christ may see them transformed in character, so that of them it may be said, of such is the kingdom of God. Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Amen and amen. That was a good one, mostly for the kids as well, parents. But everything, you know, every time I read from Situitis, it's always a blessing. Those are my own private studies today. I'm reading in that one area about Moses and how he went through what he went through in his earlier years so that he can gain understanding later in life after he put down the rod of the shepherd and led the Israelites instead. There's a lot to be said for the upbringing of the child. If you train them in the way, you train a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they're not going to depart from it. So a lot of it, and most assuredly, rests on the shoulders of those parents. All right. Before we continue, I just had a quick question for Mimi and anybody else that has a Macintosh. We might next week be using the new software. I don't know. Or I might put it off another week if I can get away with it. But next week, Jim Snipes is going to be preaching, so hopefully everything will be working okay. But Mimi, did you get the PC fixed? And if anybody else is using a Macintosh, you will need a PC to get in here next week because of they don't have the ability to, program it, this software to Macintosh. Hey, Robin, Sharon, Sabbath blessings to you. Well, then give me a call, Mimi, after Sabbath, whatever. I don't know why you're not being able to get in or fix the PC. Hey, Shane, Sabbath blessings to you. So we'll try and get that, try to figure that out for you. Do you remember who gave you the computer? All right, but can you make sure it's done before Sabbath, before next Sabbath, because we might switch over before then, because they're telling me mid-October is absolute, and they might even jump a week on it, because next Sabbath will be the 30th, I guess. Oh, I might be able to get another week out of them, but I don't know if I want to push it. Okay. In any event, you could do the radio thing. You can listen on the radio, of course, but that's not the same. I mean, it's nice to be able to come in here and do the text chat back and forth with loved ones and friends. Anybody got any comments or questions or questions about what's going on in the world right now? Or, prophetically speaking, of course, we're not going to be talking about sports. I don't get into sports anyway, never did. Probably never will, now that I'm in my 50s. So, but, yeah, that would be nice, Robert, I know, but that's why I told the guys that are making the new audio chat, I says, why don't you just leave this one up and running? I'll just continue to use it until you get the other one up and running. He says, no, it turns out they don't own it. So I thought they owned it, so I was mistaken. No, we're done. We're done with that, wherever we were reading there, Kim. Yeah, definitely, Scott Nellen. Sports are definitely... Well, if you go back in time, you just see, like, with the Olympics, it was all a pagan thing. That's all it ever was. Yeah. One thing I won't miss with the new software is with some people, like with Mimi, it doesn't seem to have a problem, but anybody else that uses whatever computers you're using, when you put in the text chat, sometimes it doesn't jump up all the way, and I only see the top parts of your letters, and I can't tell what you said, so I've got to keep on hitting that little scroll bar down to get the text chat to scroll. But I rarely watch the text chat anyway. Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, JC, yeah, because I was going to say, if you can get a hold of JC, maybe he knows, you know, what it could possibly be with the computer. You know, there might be something that he knows that somebody else wouldn't know about. Like, it's, you know, some computers have weird behaviors, you know. I know the computer in the back, one of the computers that I use as a server, or a relay, rather, is temperamental to such an extent that I got to put an extra fan on it sometimes because the hard drive used to heat up where you could fry an egg on it. So you just never know. It's kind of noisy in my office, right? And it's kind of warm in here, too, because this I'm using that remnagod.net server I got up and running before I could finish it. I kept it in my own private office. And the heat coming out of the back of that thing, it just made my little office warm. It's 78 degrees in here, whereas upstairs it's 72 because it's nice outside. Oh, go ahead there, Randy.
Want to say happy Sabbath, everyone, again, to everyone visiting us tonight. Nick, are you talking about changing over to that software we've been trying out, or is it a new version of this? Is it an upgrade of this one?
Well, that's what they're saying, but it's not really. It's it looks like a spinoff of Hot Conference type software. It's the one that we used about a year ago that had a video in it. But they are programming it from scratch, from what I understand. But it is the one that we were testing. It's the one that's still testing. It's the one that, you go into the area. We could all go in there like we did before, you know. And it works fairly well now, from what I understand. And it's pretty stable. The only thing, it doesn't work with a Mac. And I don't like that. And I don't like the follow me feature either, because if the moderators don't know how to use that, you're going to mess everything up in the room. You know, it's just going to cause all sorts of havoc. And that's why we got to be very, very careful with who we give moderator status to if they're not familiar with certain aspects of, you know, the way the computer works in the audio chats. They would have to familiarize themselves first before they go in.
Follow me sounds like take control of their computer somehow. I can see how it could mess things up if that's what it is. Man, I hate that idea that it won't work on Macs. But one feature I think I'm going to love is you're able to separate the private messages, the private message windows from the main program, and keep them. You can view them while you're viewing the main text. I like that feature.
Yeah, me too. Especially when I'm using a double monitor, I can have a bunch of windows open, talk to other people, and still watch the text chat. Yeah, I like that. And the connection between the Hinduism and the Catholicism and the Islam and the New Age stuff, it's all idol worship, like Mimi said. That's all it really is. It's just other idols. It's all a spin-off of Catholicism. If you notice, you'll see all the connections are there. I mean, Islam was actually invented by the Roman Catholic Church to rid the world, so they thought, of Christians, real Christians, and Jews.
Yeah, I can believe that. The RCC, their Catholic Bible even takes verses out concerning idol worship that condemn idol worship. Completely takes the verses out. And if you look, it'll actually skip the verse. It'll go from like 38 to 40, and it's obvious. And they might give some excuse why, but it's they're a bunch of idol worshipers too. So. And you know, I'll tell anyone to know when you really get into the Bible and get to know the prophecies and how they've matched up with the rise and fall of the major nations throughout history and matching up exactly with their rise and fall and plus the love and the power that the Holy Spirit gives you through for the knowledge of, and the wisdom of the Bible, it just gives you the power to say Christianity is not a religion. It is the truth. I'll tell anyone that, and I'll stand by it, and I'll stick with it any time, any day.
Amen. I mean, it's just, rather than call it Christianity, just call it truth. This is the truth. Anything else is just lies. That's all it is. And you can prove it. And that's why they get angry. That's why the Islamic nation or the Muslims will get angry. The Catholics get angry. The Hindus, the Zoroastrian nuns, whatever, whoever the case may be. The only problem is, at one time in the history of mankind, it was that simple. And that's how easy it was to distinguish yourself from the heathen, if you will, and the Christian. But now, in the last days, the way the devil has manipulated Christianity itself with all these spin-offs, thanks to Catholicism, you've got, around 3,000 different so-called Protestant religions that are all just bits and pieces of Catholicism. That's all they are. Yeah, nobody here does yoga. Although, if you're Seventh-day Adventist, your church does advertise it as a healthy activity, as well as martial arts. I think William or somebody, William, Richard, or who did it? Somebody sent me an email this morning. It's from an SDA page. Hold on a second here. Let me see if I can find it for you, and I'll put it in the room. They're actually advertising. Okay, that's 501c3. That's something else. They're actually advertising in a Seventh-day Adventist hospital the benefits of martial arts, and they're having classes, of course, for it, as well as yoga. And the reason they don't see anything wrong with that is because it's just totally taken over by Roman Catholicism. They have no other truth to embrace. They're all confused. Well, yeah, yoga is like the physical aspect is that stretching. It's just like with the martial arts and others. But yoga also has to do with the transcendental meditation, if I'm not mistaken. There is some demonic activity involved in some of the things that they do. Well, go ahead.
Nick, we are from the Caribbean, and what we know about Christianity is from Adventism. We are Seventh-day Adventists here. And if we were not in the church that we have in the Caribbean here, we would have either been in Hinduism or we would have been elsewhere. Now that I know the truth, I don't support the Adventist system anymore. I am trying to get the people in the Adventist system to know the truth. And what is going on, if they have a lot of people who get into the system and they come out from Hinduism. So what do we do for these people? Where you live, it's a different culture and society. But the alternative that the people have to Christianity here is Hinduism. So what do you suggest that we do in the Caribbean?
Well, the same as we have done here wouldn't be any different. It wouldn't be any harder or more difficult to start home churches. Just little home churches. Amen. Like Mondo's just put in their room. Or Mimi. Because that's how the church is going to go out. The same way the church came in is how it's going to go out. That's exactly how it's going to happen. And they're most effective, and it's very, 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 very difficult for Satan to infiltrate such churches because they're so tiny. Everybody knows each other, and rather intimately, if you will, because of the closeness of a home church. Some of the people hang with each other all day, and that's kind of like how when you get that close with members of the church, you have a tendency to see problems that they're having, and so you have an opportunity to share with them and try to do the Matthew 18 with some of them. Some of them will accept it and embrace it, and others will get angry. There's really nothing you can do. But yeah, the home church is the way you're going to be able to do it, brother, and praise the Lord that you have seen the truth that Matthew chapter 20 verses 1-7 speaks of, and it's also double validated by just looking at Revelation 12:17, But the dragon's angry, yes, at the woman, but he's not making war with her anymore. He's going after the remnant of her seed. In Matthew 20, verses 1 to 7, talks about the final stages. You know, you got the early in the morning, you get the 3 o'clock hour, the 6 o'clock, the 9 o'clock, and then, of course, now, the 11th hour. And so we would give you all the help we possibly can. I'll even set you up an audio chat room, too, for people that are far away from you, if you want to have church services online. And it's not the same hours that we have, because I don't know how your clock is over there, because we have a bunch of Australian brethren that come in here a lot, and I give them free rein of the audio chat throughout the week. They do Bible studies, and I don't know if they do a Sabbath service. There are some Canadians that were doing it, but then they got some other software that they're set up on their own website. Well, I think they got the same stuff, only they bought their own version of the software. But, you know, there's a possibility that this software that I'm using here is not really going away. That's what I want to check into, because I think our friends in Canada are using the upgrade version of this software where it continues to work on a Mac. What I think is happening is that the company that I'm with is switching software products, and this particular audio chat's not going away. It's just going away for them. So I'm going to investigate that this week, as a matter of fact, because I think that's what Rick's doing up in Canada. I think he's using the different, because I noticed when I went into his audio chat, he had something similar to this one, and man, it didn't look the same. It looked 99% of the same, but I saw things on there I didn't see on here. So, but go ahead there, Clive.
Nick, I don't know if you guys ever visited the Caribbean, but for me to use the internet as I am using it now, I'm very fortunate. The majority of the people in the Caribbean have no access to the internet. So having a chat room isn't the way. We'd have to go to the homes, or we'd have to go one-on-one. Right now, I'm struggling to put together funds to get a multimedia projector, because slides similar to what you have, I don't know if you know Dr. Walter Veit. I got some stuff from him, and I got some stuff from other guys, and I put together my own slides, and I do the history of the world, and I go through the whole events, and I show them how the Bible is true throughout. So it's difficult to get equipment. It's difficult to go and meet people online. I'm very fortunate to be able to talk to you guys online, but the others, they are not. So they are very simple people. They're very poor people in this country, and it's difficult for them to do a lot of things that you guys appreciate in the first world countries.
Hello. I noticed, I mean, you were talking about Hinduism, and I've heard they've got all these idols and gods that they pray to for different things. And, you know, I've been thinking about this, and, you know, this is from a perspective that people that don't read the Bible can understand.